This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and I'm going to start the show out by giving great big thank you to everyone on the East Coast. I just got finished with a two-week workshop tour in Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont. And what a wonderful event. My gosh, very, very open people, great questions, lots of good information that we shared. You know, my classes that I give, the workshops, people actually feed me the direction they want to go. I come in with the information. They tell me where I want to go. Evening of readings, it was absolutely fabulous. And I want to thank Kathy at Circles of Wisdom in Massachusetts. She actually sponsored the event that I did there, an evening readings and all-day class on Rewire Your Brain for Abundance. And then also Melissa at Leaping Lizards in Maine, Freeport, Maine, to be exact. And oh my gosh, they opened up their house and we had live Maine lobsters and just went on sightseeing tours. And you know, when you're on the Pacific coast, like I am, it's seeing that Atlantic Ocean is a big deal. So they actually took, she and her husband took us on a tour and we got to see the Atlantic Ocean. Beautiful lighthouses, absolutely fabulous. And then Julie, from Vermont, sponsored my Vermont workshops. Again, evening of readings, all day Saturday workshop, and a quick Sunday morning workshop on passion. And again, great people, great scenery, great time and everything. It is good to be home, but we just had a glorious time. So thanks to all of, Kathy, Melissa, and Julie, and then also to all of you that attended the events. And my Nantucket girls, if you're listening, I'm coming over there next year. I've been invited to Nantucket. Cannot wait for that to happen. I'm going back to Massachusetts. So anyway, it was just a great time to be had by all. I'm going to be actually today, my show is going to be on the topic of urinary tract infections, and it's actually a suggestion from a listener from Shelby Township in Michigan. She emailed me in regards to having two friends who suffer from chronic urinary tract infections and who have been on antibiotics, even low-grade antibiotics, for a long time. In fact, one of her friends has such a reoccurrence in that chronicness of the UTIs that what she's done is she's been on low-grade antibiotics, she said, for over 3.5 years. Oh, my gosh, OMG, OMG. What that does is it might be able to help some of the part of the problem, that bacterial aspect of it, but it really just is kind of a insidious cycle from the standpoint it's that antibiotics actually create a lot of the imbalance in the small intestine that, in fact, can be responsible for urinary tract infections caused by candida. So I want to thank you, Beth, for sending this suggestion to me. I hope that you're going to be learning a lot and that your two friends are listening so they can learn a lot. It was a lot of fun to put this show together. Also, what I'm going to be doing is, as I said, talking about urinary tract infections. And then in the last segment, I'm going to be sharing ways to treat UTIs other than antibiotics because, again, they have a place, they have a purpose, but in reality, the best thing you can do is you can do cranberry juice. You can do some things that I'm going to give as some alternative therapies that work very, very quick. You don't have the long-term effects of them. And if you do have chronic urinary tract infections, then some suggestions of some things that you can do also. So that's what I'm going to be doing throughout the show. And I want to thank you for that show suggestion. And I hope that you and your friends find it of value. And then also, I want to invite all of you who might have a show suggestion for me that would like to have me air that suggestion on my Wednesday radio shows. You can just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the radio tab at the top of the home page, and you will see a little icon, a little Babylonian, as we call him. And just click on that and submit the radio suggestion. What I try to do is I take those suggestions and I can help, they help me format my radio shows. But if it's a suggestion that really has a large audience, meaning that a lot of people are impacted by it, both male and female, I'll actually probably use it for my Your Health teleclasses that I do every other month. That is a free teleclass where I really go into in-depth of the different illness or disorder that we're looking at and then also offer a myriad of suggestions from an alternative standpoint. Well, in addition to all that, I'm going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also, of course, for international callers, all you have to do is dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Urinary tract infections are also referred to as UTIs, and what these really include is bladder infections and kidney infections. Those are the two infections that are associated with UTIs. These infections are actually more common in women than men, and actually over 75% of American women will have at least one UTI in a 10-year period of time, and 30% of those will have it at least once a year for consecutive years. In fact, UTIs, other than stress, are one of the most frequent reason that women seek medical attention, and part of the reason for that is while we understand their urinary tract infections, when we try different things and they don't respond as quickly as we need to in the case of a bladder infection, then what we want to do is we may need to have more serious things such as antibiotics that can go in and prevent that bladder infection from actually migrating up into the kidneys itself. So when we get to a place where we have chronic UTIs, then there's always this concern that it will become a kidney infection as well. When in the acute stage, the UTIs are as mentally consuming as they are physically consuming, and the part of the reason for that is that there's that frequent need to empty the bladder itself. There's that urgency. Also, there's very definitive burning. There's painful urination. And for some reason, it's very interesting with UTIs. They always seem from about 5 o'clock on to just get worse. And at night, they tend to be more impactful either on your sleep or mentally just because of the fact that they're that pressure and that need to empty the bladder and so forth, and that painfulness occurs more at night. Now, part of the reason that that is that during the day, we're drinking a lot of water, which is one of the ways to be able to certainly treat a urinary tract infection. The other thing is that we're emptying the bladder more frequently. And part of the reason that we tend to have more symptomology and discomfort at night is the fact that we're not drinking the water to keep the bladder flushed out. And we're not getting up as often to empty the bladder during the night. Someone might also experience with the UTIs, besides the different symptoms I shared, chills and fever as the body tries to throw off the infection. The value of fever is that it's the body's way of telling you that there is a bacterial infection that is actually impacting the body, and the body uses that inflammatory reaction to create that burning sensation, kind of that fire sensation or fever, to basically burn that different bacteria up and burn it out of the body. So the body's really doing what it needs to. But what it does is that, of course, that just compounds the problem. And then one of the things that if you have UTIs and you experience chills, that's something for you to really be mindful of, because one of the primary symptoms when it is actually a kidney infection, and one of the symptomologies that doctors look at, is they look at the fact that we experience chills. And what that is saying to the doctors is potentially that the infection that was in the bladder has gone up through the ureters and up into the kidney itself, and they want to be sure to get that taken care of immediately. In that particular case, antibiotics are always used. Cipro is one of the primary things that are used for UTIs, especially when there's a predisposition for kidney impact, and one of the things is that we don't want to do anything to impact the kidneys or to damage them in any way. So if you do find that you experience chills, it's something for you to be mindful of. If they continue on more than a 24-hour period of time, then I always suggest to someone, please go see a doctor. Some of the other things that happen that could be indicators that it's a UTI are the presence of a strong, foul-smelling urine, which is literally the bacteria itself that is causing the urine to become very, very strong. Also, a cloudiness in the urine. And then there sometimes in the case of being just a bladder infection, not necessarily a kidney infection associated with it, there may be some blood in the urine itself. And what it's really doing is it's the body, again, is trying to take this bacteria that has adhered to the walls of the bladder itself that's causing that infection. And by emptying it and by straining the way that we do, trying to empty in that frequency and that urgency, is that a lot of times that's a shedding of that bacteria that is also impacting the actual lining of the bladder itself. The way to tell if the infection is a bladder infection is that the pain is always below the waist, and you'll find it most often in the area, the vulva, and the area, the urethra in that area, and then also in the lower back, and that whole pelvic floor just seems to be very, very uncomfortable. Now, if the pain is above the waist, then it's an indicator that it may be, not necessarily that it is, but it may be that what you have is you're having a kidney infection, or also when it's above the waist and the pain of kidney stones also starts out very similar to in symptomology of a bladder infection. But what it may be is, of course, with kidney stones, they become much worse, and they're just really very, very, very uncomfortable. So if it's above the waist, it's something for you to really pay attention to. If it's below the waist, then that means that we have a bladder infection, and bladder infections actually are much easier to treat from the standpoint of using alternative therapies as they are when we get in to the kidney aspect of it. Some of the common causes of a UTI are staph infections, strep, and even the rhinitis cold infection, aggravated by overuse of antibiotics, also yeast infection, the candida, and fecal bacteria, the E. coli, that actually migrate through the urethra. That's that little tiny area in the female body that sometimes is just maybe anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches, females, that's one of the reasons that it makes women more susceptible, is the fact that that urethra itself is very, very short, where in the male it's much more extended. So in that particular case, what it's saying is that maybe because we're wiping from the back to the front, is that what we're getting is we're actually getting that E. coli bacteria and everything. Also, stress, not uncommon for women, especially when they get in that stress situation, because it changes the pH of the body. Then what's going to happen is it can also cause a bladder infection, spermicide, also certain contraceptives, kidney malfunction, food allergies have even been known to cause UTIs, lack of adequate fluids, aluminum cookware, something that we're learning a lot more about as far as the predisposition specifically for chronic UTIs, poor elimination, tampons, diaphragms, and then also a pinching at the neck of the bladder itself. So what that can occur is that the nerves itself can cause that pinching. One of the things that I always suggest is that at the very first sign of infection, the very best thing that you can do is to jump right on it, treat it as if it's a bladder infection. The minute you start getting that little bit of discomfort that is going to, that maybe that little bit of burning or that frequency that you get, jump on it right away, treat it as a bladder infection, and then what you can do is you can start the process. Much easier to treat it when it's at that beginning stages rather than when it's at the latter stages. Now we have to really spend more time working with it. We might need to try multiple alternative therapies, and then if it doesn't seem to do it, we'll go to the doctor. A lot of times it'll be a sulfa drug, seems to knock it out for a lot of people, women and men, but if for any reason that doesn't work, then an antibiotic will be then prescribed. So that's a little bit I want to start about talking about UTIs. I want to jump right in because my lines are full. Let's take Joellen from Chicago. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for calling me.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm very good. Nice to hear from you again.
Oh, gosh, thanks for that. You're so sweet.
You are so welcome. So how can I help you?
Well, you know, my mom's best friend is passing away right now, or mm-hmm. passing. And right. I guess there's a couple questions involved with that. Is when people tell you, well, they've got 96 hours in her case, or she's going to hospice, I guess the first question is there really a chance for someone to pull out of it if we send them a lot of love and light and they choose to want to really come back? And then the second question is, you know, relating to my mom, but I'll let you answer the first one.
Okay. There is. Usually what will occur is that, excuse me, if somebody is really going to go into the transition itself and not a near death, and again, we can always pull out. I'll give you some stories on that. But one of the things is there tends to be about 2 weeks prior to a person passing, maybe 3 weeks, that person will start to talk about the fact of maybe other family members that have passed or animals that have passed, and they will start getting what I call visitations from souls that have already crossed over that have been an integral part of their life. That is one of the first indicators that this is going to be a part of the death process and that that is imminent. And the reason that these souls come to us is that they don't want us to be afraid. They don't want us to feel alone while we're going through the process itself. Now, having said that, we always have free will. And what that free will means is that the brain itself always has a chance to be able to spark new aspects of its neurology, or to be able to rewire itself in some ways, or to be able to build a detour in some ways, Joellen. So what will happen, sweetie, is that the doctors can say, okay, well, you're within 96 hours of imminent transition, but that body can always try to rally back. And it isn't uncommon for the brain, because of the dynamics between the mind, body, and the soul, the brain, social, absolutely loves being informed. So what will happen is when somebody is ready to transition, if they aren't ready, meaning they don't have closure with someone, or they're waiting for someone to come visit them, or they're still trying to prepare themselves, then that human brain will literally keep them alive, and they may rally back and then only to fall back into it, and then rally back and only to fall back into it. I actually work with a doctor who is a doctor in palliative medicine, and she actually helps people transition from the medical perspective. And she had a young man that had been in a motorcycle accident, had tremendous trauma to the body and everything, and that they knew was going to transition. So she was literally helping him. But he was aware, while he was not able to be verbally interactive, he was aware of what was going on. And she would talk to him. And he actually died, and he was actually dead for about 2 hours, and he came back, which is just unheard of. And when the doctor, my friend came in, and she said, oh, well, you decided to come back, and he squeezed her hand, and she said, did you come back for something? And he squeezed her hand, and did you come back for your father? And no, nothing there, because his father had come to visit him. Did you wait for your mother? Did you come back for your mother? He squeezed the hand. And so the doctor called the mother and said, your son has died. Come back. And he's waiting for you. And she said, I'm not going to come. And she said, well, I can't tell him that. And so the mother actually came. And while she was holding the son's hand, he transitioned. So I share that story with you, sweetie, because while from medicine, when we're looking at the physical aspect of the body, there are absolute indicators. What I mean absolute, meaning that the body goes through a series of processes of shutting down. But that mind is so powerful that if it is not ready, and the soul, the mind, and the body have not received the closure that's needed, the person can continue to stay, transition, come back, and so forth. But that's usually the way it is. I will share with you, as your mother allowed me to touch this person, this is the transition. The person will very, very calmly, very quietly transition. There's not a lot of angst and not a lot of fear. The friend feels like she's hanging on for your mother, because it feels to me like your mother's mortality and kind of what is her purpose. It feels like she's doing a lot of revisiting in her life, your mom, as far as what is her purpose, what she can she do, what are the things that she can do before she goes through this. And so that's the gift of the person, the friend, is helping your mom just take a deep breath and kind of look around and see what's there. The other thing is your friend and your mother have been souls in many, many lifetimes. And your mother is the perfect wisdom keeper to be able to hold her light when she transitions in such a way that your mother will be able to embody her energy, her memory, that creates a bond and connection, that your mother's friend will be able to come and visit with her and to be able to inspire her and to be able to share with her in the way that they do in dreams, and just warm feelings and everything. So it's a very mutual situation when we have been asked by someone to share that process?
I guess I'm concerned because this is one of her last of her really, really close friends to pass, and I guess that concerns me with her. She's a social person, and she has a lot of friends, but not very, very close friends.
Right, Well, and the other part of it is that, as I said, that's part of the, you know, kind of your mother's mortality kind of being revisited. And what occurs when we reach an age where people begin to transition, our friends and loved ones that, you know, family members, whatever it may be, then it, the gift of them to us is to, again, help us stop, take a, evaluate our life. Is it what we desire to do? Are there things that we still want to do? And it doesn't have to be a bucket list, but what are the things? One of the things, sweetie, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but it just feels really important for me to just say it the way that spirit works and the soul, is that my sense is that what your mother is experiencing with the transition of your friend, and experience the grace and the glory and the beauty of it, because it really is, while it's the finality of it, it is an exquisite, exquisite process. I think your mother's going to use this as a catalyst, and again, I don't know why I say it, sweet, but almost to be able to maybe move into hospice or to understand it differently and to be able to help other people. That seems to be the nature of your mother, isn't it, Joellen, where she just, you know, she learns something and all she wants to do is help people. Is that true?
I'm not sure. People are drawn to her, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yep. So anyway, while I'm, a gift, again, the thing with the concern with you is that you're
loneliness.
Starting to,
I'm just worried about her loneliness.
Yeah. Well, one of the things with your mother, you can help her with that, you and your sister, you can help her with that from the standpoint of just reaching out, sending cards, emails, call, whatever it is that she won't, and then anything that you can do to help see that she stays active with a lot of the friends that she has, that's something that could be really helpful.
All right. That helps me.
Good. Yep.
Thank you, Carol.
And you're welcome, honey. And part of the gift of this, how it really works, sweetie, is her friend is gifting your mother. Your mother is gifting you because you're looking at your mortality. You're looking at your mom. You want her to have that life that she is. So it's a place for you to be able to look at your relationship, evaluate, reach out, and then go from there. It's exquisite the way all of this works. It really is. But that may be something for you to think about also.
Thanks, Carol. Really blessed day. Thanks
well, so you much. Too, hon. Likewise. We were in Chicago. You've been having crazy weather. So anyway, well, what I want to do before I go and take a commercial break, I want to come back and I want to just share very, very quickly as a medical intuitive. I'm going to start the process. I'll pick it up in the next segment. But one of the things as a medical intuitive, I know that illness just isn't the result of something that happens in the body, but actually is a result of hidden contributors that affect us mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually, energetically. When we have illness or we experience a chronicness or a pain or discomfort, it's really our soul's way of using the physical body to tell us that something we're thinking, doing, or saying is compromising who we are. Now, we're not being punished for that, but what it really is it's an opportunity when we get caught in the throes of an illness or, again, the chronicness of something. The chronic part of it is saying to us, really look at your life. What do you do? What are the chronic patterns of thinking, the chronic attitudes that you have, the chronic emotions? Maybe it's guilt, anger, sadness, worry. What are those different things that you tend to repeat and replay over and over in the mind? And looking at it as a medical intuitive from that perspective, then everything really starts to shift. And then what we do is we can use all of this as an opportunity for us to step back and say, you know, this is occurring. What do I need to look at? And in the case of the urinary tract infections, being the bladder specifically, that's tied to the first chakra. First chakra is the root chakra. It's all around our survival. Are we stressed over the fact that maybe we can't pay bills? Maybe we can't buy food? Do we need to look at our life and see what can we eliminate as far as extra expenditures or Better yet, what can we do to make more money so we can have the quality of life, pay for our bills, survive in a comfortable way, and then have extra money for other things that we're looking for? So again, first chakra is usually tied to bladder infection. Well, it is tied to bladder infection. It's really a chance for us to go back, step back, and really look at what in our life isn't working. What patterns of behavior? What fears do we have? Is it that fear around survival? Do we have a fear around losing everything if we're in that scarcity where money isn't flowing abundantly or our health is not cooperating with us? Then every part of our survival becomes an effort. When it becomes an effort, our world shrinks. Same with money. Our world shrinks, and then we get what I call that heads down, and we get in that survival mode. And when we get in that survival mode, then the first thing that we experience is resentment. And in this particular case, when it comes to a bladder infection, what we're really doing is we are experiencing deep-seated resentment that shows up in the back. But more importantly is that we're just plain ticked off or beady off from the standpoint that we just need to change something. Bladder infections are our wake-up call because of the way they mentally consume us and says, stop. Stop whatever you're doing. Look around. Change what you can, but change is in order. And if you are interested in changing what you're doing, then it's as much therapy as just drinking a bottle of cranberry juice. All right, so if you please stay tuned, I'm going to come right back. I'm going to talk more about this psychological connection with UTIs, and I'm going to be sharing some alternative therapies, and I'm going to still be taking your calls. So I'll be right back. Thanks for joining me.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. So today I've been talking about urinary tract infections. If you're just joining me, this is an actual topic suggestion from a listener from Shelby Township, Michigan. So if you have a suggestion for me, I encourage you to go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and then submit your suggestion, and I'll try to put it on my show. I've got a kind of a list that I use, and again, as I get more emails, those different topics move to the top of the list as there's more interest. And then also, if it's a topic that really has a generalized interest that impacts both male and female, then what I may do is I may actually create it as a Your Health teleclass. So in that particular case, I'm going to talk to you about a Your Health teleclass because I've got one coming up May 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And tinnitus is what's called a subjective disorder. And the reason that it's called a subjective disorder is because that it actually is caused by very specific things. But what it does is the way that it announces itself in the physical body, such as the ringing in the ears, the roaring, the buzzing, the humming, the chirping, the whistling, and the hissing in the ears itself, is what it's doing is it's actually a very subjective, meaning that it's a very specific type of disorder itself. An estimated 50 million adults in the United States actually suffer from tinnitus, and about 12 million of those people actually seek medical help because of the severity of it. One of the things that we know is that tinnitus is part of the aging process itself. It doesn't have to be, but it does tend to be an aging process because in that particular case, it's tied to hearing loss. So if you or a loved one suffer from tinnitus, then I invite you to join me for my free Your Health teleclass. It's going to be happening May 24th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I'm going to be talking about the tinnitus. I talk about it from a general description, the clinical aspect of it, also some of the different conditions and illnesses that can actually cause tinnitus, and then also sharing some of the hidden psychological meanings as well as the metaphysical meaning behind it. That's one of the things I love to do as a medical intuitive, and then also the chakras that are involved and where you'll be able to find the associated energy blockages in the body that actually are responsible for a lot of the symptomology of tinnitus itself. Also, as I do on my radio shows, I'm going to be sharing a variety of therapies and suggestions that may help you not only be able to minimize it, but be able to eliminate it. Tinnitus is something that is very, very effectively treated with alternative therapies. So again, if you would like to attend or like to share it with your friends, it is free. Go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You can go to teleclass, or you can go down on the What's New section, or you can click on an icon. Any way I'll get you there. Sign up for the teleclass. It is free while you listen to it. And then shortly after the teleclass itself, I'll have an audio download that will be available for purchase, as well as a printable PDF that goes into a lot of detail as far as tinnitus and offers a myriad of suggestions of what you can be able to do with it. So please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Also, I'm going to be taking your calls. Let's see. We're calling 877-230-3062. Let me jump in, and I'm going to take a couple more callers because my lines are full. Then I'm going to go back and share a little bit more about the psychological aspect of it and then some therapies that you can use to work with it. Let's take Michelle from Elk Grove. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, sweet. How can I help you?
My husband withholds sex from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why. The rest of our marriage is very good. We're good friends. We get along. We have good conversations. And I think that if we had sex 5 times a year, he would be perfectly happy with that. But I'm not.
Well, no, you wouldn't be, sweetie, because, excuse me for sounding kind of jumped right in on that one. The reason for that is because of the intimacy needs that you have associated with the relationship itself. His intimacy needs feel a little bit different, but there's something else going on, sweetie, with this. And because you have a good relationship, I can feel that you have that friendship basis and everything. It isn't tied to any extramarital things. My sense is, sweetie, he's got some dysfunctional things that are going on, probably maybe a slight bit of erectile dysfunction that is going on. I'm also picking up that he has a predisposition maybe to prostatitis, which is something where the prostate becomes enlarged. It can become very uncomfortable, urinating can, and it may be something that's preoccupying him. Have the two of you been able to sit down and maybe talk about it from a biological or a clinical state? I know that I can pick up that you're trying to talk to him about it, but he doesn't understand it. He feels like he's doesn't know what's wrong with him. He's afraid to really address the issue. I think it feels to me that he has the desire. It just doesn't feel like everything's working to be able to make that happen.
That makes a lot of sense. When we do try to talk about it, I think it just makes him feel more pressured, which makes him less interested.
Exactly. And what it does is that, again, if there's any kind of erectile dysfunction, what's going to happen is that pressure psychologically actually increases the problem. So one of the things that you can do that would be, well, I don't know exactly how you're going to maneuver it. You feel like you can do this very, truthfully and straightforwardly, is that if we could get him to a urinary tract doctor. And the reason for this is because it feels to me, have you noticed, sweet, that maybe he has trouble emptying his bladder? Has he ever said anything to you about that?
No, I've never noticed it.
Okay. Excuse me, I'm going to get kind of clinical here. Have you noticed that the stream itself, and you have to be really intimate to know, the stream itself seems to be dwindling?
Yes, or it'll start and stop.
Okay. So the best way to approach that, because the male ego is associated so much with his sexuality, is that one of the ways that you can notice that is if it comes up or you notice something without it really being a big deal, then what you might do is you might just suggest that maybe we just need to look into it. And then what's going to happen is a doctor would be able to talk to him in a way that maybe Cialis or, you know, Viagra or pumps or whatever. There's a whole bunch of things if nobody wants to, a male doesn't want to take medication. But what it'll do is it will really, really help the process. And what it'll also help him know that this isn't something that's abnormal from the standpoint of being psychological, that there's something, and my sense is that he's probably had that enlarged prostate that gets enlarged and then secretes it, empties itself, and then it's able to work with it. So that's certainly one way to be able to work with it. But my sense is, honey, that's what we're really dealing with, something physically and not psychologically, because he feels to me like he enjoys the snuggling, he enjoys the process, he enjoys the intimacy, it's just the pressure.
Thank you.
You are welcome. You are welcome. And as a female, you know, it's one of those touchy-touchy things that we really don't want to talk to him about because, gosh, we don't want to compound the problem. But the thing is it starts to make us think that something's wrong with us or we're not pretty, and heaven help us if we have some extra weight on, because then we absolutely destroy ourselves, and then we just, you know, it's kind of a process for us as well. But that would be something that would be really able to help and everything. And I work with urologists, so I'm going to say something. I'm going to let you just figure out how it is. If a man doesn't ejaculate on a regular basis, then the prostate itself will actually start to enlarge, and it can create and compound problems as far as being able to urinate and to get the erection and everything else they need. So one of my urologists always says, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's something, and men don't know what to do with that. So, again, something for you to think about. But that would be the best way. And the reason I'm sending you to a urologist instead of the regular family doctor is because you can look at it from the stream of the urine itself versus it being a sexual dysfunction. And that's a big note. That's a big boogaboo for men.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is so helpful.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Now you can just put on your, thinking hat of how you're going to be able to help with that in a way that it's helpful and it's not seen as being nagging. Good luck.
Yes. Thank you so much, Carol.
You are most welcome, hon. All right. So the best way to not to be able to avoid getting urinary tract infections from occurring in the first place is drinking plenty of fluids, and that's mainly water. And one of the things is with water is that if you do have a predisposition for chronic urinary tract infections, then what you'll want to do is maybe you'll want to do some aloe water every other day or a little bit every day. You'll also want to do some distilled water. You'll want water that isn't heavy in the minerals and everything. Not that that really does anything, but water is very, very important from the standpoint of keeping the body fluids where they need to be. If you're drinking water that's heavy in metal, maybe from a well or something like that, then what it can do is it creates other problems with the heavy metals. Drinks with sugar and caffeine actually change the pH of the body, and they increase the risk of experiencing urinary tract infections. So what you want to do is you maybe want to have a daily regimen of vitamins. These cranberry capsules are very, very good. Or unsweetened cranberry juice. So often when we get a bladder infection, what we do is we actually go in and we start drinking a lot of cranberry juice. Natural thing to be able to do that, but the sugar actually compounds the problem. One of the things I want to share with the cranberry juice is there's another product called D-mannose, M-A-N-N-O-S-E, that is the concentrated part of the cranberry itself. You can get it at a health food store. or maybe online. You want the highest quality you can. What happens with cranberry juice or with the D-mannose, which is a part of the cranberry itself, is that what it does is it creates a coating in the bladder itself. So it's kind of like milk of magnesia. I hate to say that word, but milk of magnesia in the stomach, or Pepto-Bismol that coats the stomach itself if it's irritated. But what the cranberry does and what the D-mannose does is it actually puts a coating that's a alkaline in the bladder, inside the bladder itself, so the bacteria associated with a urinary tract infection cannot adhere to the walls of the bladder itself. And as a result, any type of infection that you have, maybe it's candida or E. coli or anything, what it does is there's no way for that bacteria to hang on to the walls of the bladder, and then it's just shed the way that it needs to. By the same token, is by drinking it, the kidneys, ureters down into the bladder, also that urethra, that little short hose that we have, that little tube that basically empties the bladder, becomes coated, and then that way then we just start shedding that bacteria. So very, very effective. But sugar actually is acidic, and it changes the dynamics of the small intestine, the blood, the urine, the immune system, and everything else. So I would encourage you to drink unsweetened cranberry juice, and it doesn't take a lot if you do it that way, and boom, it'll just take care of it right away. Blueberries are also good. Vitamin C and are good because they strengthen the inner surface of the bladder. Vitamin C is something, take it as natural as possible. You know, of course, an orange would be the best. You don't need to take high dosages of it. If you do have a bladder infection, you will want to increase the vitamin C. But again, if you do it in orange juice, fresh squeeze versus the process because of the sugar itself. Be sure you get enough of the mineral zinc, because what zinc does is it strengthens the immune system, and it actually helps the body itself not get into that inflammatory cycle from the standpoint that it's causing more havoc than it is doing good. Also, if you don't have a glucose intolerance, then include yogurt every day in your body. Probiotics are something that would be important to also consider putting daily in your body. Talk to your doctor if you're using contraceptives, diaphragms, or spermicides, because these one of the side effects of all of those are UTIs. Maybe there's some other things that can be done. Ask the doctor about diuretics, because diuretics, while they're emptying the kidneys themselves, are also acidic, and they can actually contribute to them. And then also, if you're on prolonged use of antibiotics, then what you will want to do is that you will want to find other ways to be able to work with it. Engage in something daily that can help relieve stress, such as meditation, yoga, movement, or doing something creative. Now, if you do find that you get a urinary tract infection, then what you want to do is, there's products that are over-the-counter, Azo, because what it does is it actually stops the burning and the urgent need to urinate. And in fact, hospitals, if you were to go to an emergency room because of a severe urinary tract infection, they will give you a prescription for the exact same thing. Also, this product, they have products that can help control yeast growth, which is a major contributor to UTIs. This pure D-mannose that I talked about is a potent concentration of cranberry without the sugar. Again, it's D-M-A-N-N-O-S-E, and it comes either in capsule form or in powder form. Very, very effective. One of the things that I always suggest, if you're going to even consider D-mannose, go online, read about it. There's some wonderful websites with real scientific information through studies and research that's been done to show the effect of it and why it really works. And then purify the bladder or the urethra with water, melon seed tea, or carrot, beet, cucumber juice every other day. Add alkalizing foods such as celery, watermelon, blueberries, and green drinks. Again, remember, you can do the natural fructose. You don't want to do high sugar fruits that are high in fructose, but what you can do is the fructose in fruit is very, very effective. And then during an acute stage, you can actually take 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar and honey and water in the morning, yogurt at noon, and a glass of white wine at night. Now, again, you have to be careful of the white wine itself. It does alkaline, but if you have a sensitivity to nitrates, then it could cause a problem. So you really do have to know your body and know what is going on with everything with it. So those are some suggestions of what you can do. one of the things that I do always suggest is, especially if you have chronic bladder infections, then you'll want to talk to your holistic practitioner or to your doctor if you're on antibiotics. One of the things with antibiotics is that you can get off of them very quickly, but we don't want to compound the problem. At the first sign of blood in the urine, then you want to consult your doctor. And I encourage you to be open to antibiotics at that time. Short, fast, Cipro is one of the ones that is usually used in that particular case. And then also when I talk about the D-mannose and stuff, I always like to give this disclaimer. Please know that I do not get any kind of financial compensation for anything that I suggest. I just want to help you with these things that just drive us crazy, both male and female, but more female. So let's go in and jump into Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How can I help you, hon?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call. I've had chronic fatigue, and I had a dental infection, but, you know, it's pretty well cleared, but I made a trip and got under some stress, and I went into some heart arrhythmias last night. I've had a few during my sleep when they've tested me, but it was never apparent to me, and I waked up with my heart pounding, and I just wasn't sure why it was so bad this time.
Yeah, a couple of things, hon, is that, of course, the stress. I mean, I'd be kind of negligent if I didn't say that. But the other thing is that you feel like your hormones are off. And so there's a couple that you really need the sleep. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the first and foremost thing that you need. The other thing is that I'm getting an imbalance in your female hormones itself. For some reason, it feels different. So let me see what that means. I'm going to ask your age, sweetie.
60.
Okay. Are you taking supplements, sweetie? Is there something you're taking? Something's throwing your hormones off. Now, I know as a female, I had to ask that age because taking your age and saying, okay, well, we know that you're through menopause and you're through all that, but something has got your hormones off. Even though
I did take some maca for like 3 or 4 days because I have a low, I have an untreated thyroid condition. It's very low, and any thyroid will race my heart. But I tried the maca.
Okay, so I was doing hormones. So it is not unusual with a thyroid that's low or that the hormones, female hormones, are bouncing around, even though as females at our age we're not having our menses, so we don't have that normal thing that we did where it was every 28 days. The thing I'm picking up is I'm picking up the thyroid. That causes heart arrhythmia. It's not uncommon. The other thing is when the hormones, when the stress, the thyroid hormone gets off, the hormones in the body in general gets off, then what it does is it creates almost it's an adrenaline hit that happens, especially during the night, where we'll wake up with our heart racing or we can be very aware of our heart or we'll feel it skipping a beat and everything. So the maca, I asked that. I didn't get a hit that is anything that's a problem. So I can't go in and say to you, oh, well, that's what caused this all to happen. But one of the things I would pay attention to it, how often are you taking that, sweetie?
I just started it. I've had it for a long time, and I couldn't tolerate it before. And it was actually in some kind of a treat that I didn't realize was in there, and I did okay, so I took the powder again. So it was probably about 4 days that I took a little bit of it.
Okay, I don't feel like it's really the problem, but it may very well be that what it is, if the thyroid's low, you put it in, it spikes it, it drops down, it spikes it again. Can you see how that would create kind of that metaphor of what the arrhythmia is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what you might just consider is that you might consider, you know, dropping the dosage, or you might try considering taking it every other day. The untreated thyroid. Are you working with a naturopath or an integrative medicine doctor, sweetie?
No, not currently.
Okay. you know, my natural way would say to you, we need to get the thyroid taken, and we need to get you on something to stabilize it. But I can tell you, your body does not like anything that isn't natural. Oh my gosh. While Synthroid or some of the new ones might be something to put you on, that's not, your body would just go, I don't think so. This is not going to work. So why don't you try working with the maca a little bit and see if you can fluctuate it, maybe not take it every day or not take as much, and see if you can do something like that as well. Because what occurs, sweet, is when that thyroid starts getting low and everything starts bouncing around, the hormones bounce around, I can actually feel the pain receptors in your body become more pronounced, and then I can feel more discomfort, and then I feel more stress because now you're in discomfort. Then I can feel the thyroid. So it's kind of a combination of everything, sweetie, that I'm feeling. So if you can find something to stabilize that, that will help you. But the heart arrhythmia itself is tied directly to thyroid. It's directly tied to hormones. There isn't a heart issue that you're experiencing, sweetie.
Oh, thank you so much. A quick question on the stress. You know, there's a gentleman, he had cancer, and we worked together, and
yes,
we've had a lot of changes in the relationship, and I was going to meet with him. I really needed to know where I stood, and there was a mix-up on the time, and he left, and so he has agreed to meet with me again, but I don't know if you have anything to say about that. I just really feel like I need to ask him at this point.
You do, sweetie. And, you know, it's interesting because after we talked last time on the radio, and I'm just going to share it. It's not to go against anybody's religious beliefs. You've had past lives with this gentleman before. And I can pick up a past life that I was able to pick up last time, honey, is that you were always waiting for him. I didn't know if he was off to war. He was somewhere, and you were always waiting for him, honey, and longing to be able to see him. That feels like that's been the course of your relationship. Now it's kind of like always, you know, waiting for him to come back or waiting for him to connect with you. And that's what I'm picking up as well. But that seems to be in the lifetimes that the two of you have incarnated. That seems to be part of the dynamics of your soul relationship. And what he does is that he always knows you're going to be there. So it felt to me from his perspective is that he knows you're always going to be there. So if it doesn't work out, you're going to always be there. From you, you're always waiting for him to get there, and he doesn't get there because you're going to always be there. See how that cycle works?
Yes, I do.
And that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy, waiting, anticipation, the stress of it, not knowing what's going to happen. Is he going to come home? When he does, is he going to be okay? So there's a lot of dynamics that are there. And that keeps your body in a constant state of stress from the standpoint that it really, really keeps that kind of the adrenals beating the tom-tom, which is part of the fatigue that you feel. And that it also has to do with the inflammatory reaction, which is part of the discomfort you feel. And then the thyroid that's tied to the metabolism is always trying to keep you up, keep you there, keep you, you know, ready to engage. And there's a lot of disappointment. The other thing is I want to just gold stars to you. I'm going to pull out my box here in my office. I'm going to stick them all by your name for you to press. To get the closure, whatever that looks like, whether it's closure, whether it's changing the relationship itself, whether it's opening up new doors, but for you to press to get out of that waiting for him to come back to you mode, for you to press to get, ask your questions, to get whatever you need, gold stars to you. That's something that you've worked on this whole lifetime, is find the courage, the strength, to be able to move beyond the fear of abandonment, which, by the way, was your mother's that was gifted to you. So there's a whole bunch of dynamics. Good for you for pressing, push, meet him, ask about it, take what you get, and then you can move on. And that will close that chapter of your soul's connection with him so you can continue on when you meet him in future lifetimes. If that's the case, then what you can do is you can start in a whole new dynamics of a relationship.
Yeah. So you think then he is probably going to end it?
Actually, sweetie, I don't think so. I think it's going to end the way it was.
Okay. Yes.
Because I think that he knows you're going to always be there, and you're going to say to him, you know, I need to know where it is. Well, that's going to be his wake-up call. Oh, my gosh. Maybe Sharon isn't always going to be there. And then you're going to be a part that's saying, you know, I can't keep waiting like this. So I don't know where – I honestly don't know where it's going to go, because it doesn't feel finite enough to me on either side of you that you want this to be done in this lifetime. I think that it's an opportunity to take it to the next step. That's what it feels like to me, sweetie.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing that past life and everything. You're always so right on, so I so appreciate your counsel.
Well, thank you very much, and really always a pleasure to talk to you and everything. And again, for all of you, thanks, Sharon, for all of you on the show, when I go into a lot of the past lives, please do know that I do honor whatever religious belief that you might have about reincarnation. It's never my intent to be able to diminish that at all. One of the things that I know, the best way that I always explain that reincarnation is that we are literally the genetics of our mother, father, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, and it goes on and on and on and on and on in our lineage, and that also as souls, we do connect in light. We put all this together, and we're ready to go on into a new, exciting life. So again, thank you all for joining me today. It's just been absolutely fabulous to share this information. Thanks to all my East Coast friends that I made out there and so forth. And please join me again next week. It's been a wonderful time with you today. You can go to my archives, reitberger.com, in order to be able to listen to this show and all the shows that I've done on Contact Talk Radio for almost the 4 years that I've been with them. Hope you'll join me next week. Light and love to all of you. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.